Wild at Twitter Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you so much. Here I am and there you are. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. You have found the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm broadcasting straight up out of Chicago where it is windy, storming, snowy, cold, you name it. But hey, wow, how could I complain? It is winter. It is the last leg of February 2016. And it is feeling like it, even though they say it's going to be great over the weekend, 50s on Sunday and Saturday. So virtually, this will probably go down in the history books as a mild winter, even though we've had more than a few frosty and frigid days so far. But it will probably go down as a mild winter. It all depends on what March will be like. You know, Chicago's weather is really, really, it'll change every time you walk around a corner. You know, it's always, and it majority of the time it changes for the worst. Anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for being on my show. My guest today is Sarah and Samantha, and they are life coaches. So I'm going to let them come on the show and tell you what they do, how they do it, and why they do it, and why should we listen? What does it have for you and me and everybody else out there in the world? Okay, you listen to the George Wilder Show. This is an international show, and I get goosebumps every time I think about it, that people can be listening to this show, listening to me all around the world. Then they may not be. All right, 347-857-1762 if you want to chime in on something. Just make a comment and just, you know, it's all in fun. It's all in fun. This is anything goes. That means you can talk about anything that you want, if you want to talk about anything you want. If you do not want to talk about much, and a lot of people do not feel good about calling in. I know this because sometimes when I'm listening to talk shows, I fail sometimes to call in. You know, I just sit back and listen. And you can do the same thing. Sit back and listen, relax, and get it on. You know, I mean, if you can't listen tonight, tomorrow, but listen next week or next month or whenever you can, because the show is always podcasted. I got some great friends out there who are sharing the show, telling everyone about the show because they think that the show is something that people should know about. Of course, I've been going on 2 years. Something has to give, huh? Something has to give. And you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure that you follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, right here. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on LinkedIn. You know, every time I listen to a talk show host, they're always saying, check me out on Facebook, check me out on Twitter, check me out on LinkedIn. I guess I'm saying the same thing. Everybody's trying to, you know, everybody's vying for an audience. Everybody's vying for attention, which is good, which is good. And the only way that you're going to get attention at anything that you're doing is that you're going to have to be good at it. You're going to have to be good if you want to get the attention of the American people, because the attention of the American people is not long. You got to get them at, you got to hook them right at the start. If you don't hook them, that's it. You got to hook them. Sometimes I can hook them, sometimes I can't, but that's the way of the world. To quote Maurice White, the late Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay, let's move right along. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 6:04 straight up. Wow, barely 5 minutes into the show. And that's something, we got a lot to cover. As always, you miss this show, you will miss a hell of a lot. And I want to thank all of my callers for calling in. I want to thank all the people who listen, podcast the show, downloaded the show. I want to thank all the people who have shared the show, been on the show, been guests on the show, and also have shared the show with their friends, their fans, and everybody that they know, because they think the show is great. And it is great. And everybody who comes on the show, I try to give them a link to the show so they can post their show onto their website or their blog, so their friends and fans can also listen to the show. This is a great show. I don't believe that this show is anything like any other show. I've listened to a lot of radio shows. I've listened to a lot of talk radio shows. And my show is different. I cannot be like any other talk show host. I can only be George Wilder Jr. I can't. I mean, there are so many talk show hosts out here that I love and that I listen to. I mean, hey, Ed Schultz, Dick Kay, Tom Hartman, you know, and alike. These guys are great. I mean, they have a number of callers into the show. Then sometimes they have no callers into the show. But the show, with or without callers, with or without guests, the show must go on, you know, because I, like so many other radio talk show hosts, we love what we do, and we're going to keep doing it because it keeps us up. You keep us up, and I just love it when guests come on the show, but especially when they have something to offer, because, you know, no matter what age you are, you can always learn something. I learn something every day, and I'm always astonished. Wow, I tell myself, well, I should have known this 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But anytime you learn something, no matter what, even if you call in and you have something to say about this or that, if it's something educational, great. I'm learning from it just like my callers are or my listeners are. You know, so... that's why I love to have guests on the show. And this show will go on until it can't go on anymore. Because I love it. I'm footing the bill for the show. There's no doubt about it. Most talk show radio hosts, whether it's over the air, traditional radio, internet radio, whatever, we are footing the bill for the show. I have no sponsors for this show. There's no commercials on this show, which is good. But then it's bad in a way, because if I don't want my show tied up, put it this way, I don't want my show tied up with nothing but commercials. I mean, there is one radio station claimed to be a talk show radio station, and all there is a bunch of commercials interfering with everything. And I don't want that for this show. I want it to be clear and clean, but I understand a radio, on your radio show, it's kind of like more income. It's income, you know. So we'll have to think about that down the line. But anyway, on my show today, scheduled to be on my show today is Sarah and Samantha. You know, I thought that Sarah Samantha was a complete name for an individual. But as I've done my research, I'm finding out that Sarah Samantha is two people, which is okay, and they are life coaches. I've had a bunch of life coaches on this show, and they've all brought something to the show. You know, so we're going to stick around for that. I'm thinking it's a 6:30 call-in as usual. Okay, I've had a cancel. I mean, I've had someone to cancel. I've had a guest to cancel for March 1st. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? There might be someone to replace her for canceling. But that's what I like. When a guest cancels or feel as though they're not going to be on the show, it's great to know that they've felt enough to let me know that they are not going to be on the show. They can't make it. Then for just a guest to just blow me off, you know, blow the show off and just, you know, I mean, I respect the guest who cancels and let me know that they're canceling for whatever reason. That will entail me to maybe reschedule them for a following show. All right, you're listening to the George Wilders Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. All right, let's move right along. We've got that out of the way. it's fun. It's great. It's fun. And sometimes I'm laughing, I'm tickling. But that's the real me. That's me. That's because I just love what I'm doing, and I'm hoping to build an audience, to build a fan base on this. I believe I have, but, you know, you can always do better. All right, top news for today. We're going to be talking about things in the news until the guest comes along, and I hope you stick around for that. Donald Trump, I love the poorly educated. That's his quote. You may have heard it. I love the poorly educated. He also said, I love the educated. As you probably know, this is his third big win. He's South Carolina, and he's beside himself. He is totally beside himself. Like I've stated to people on some of these networking social media sites like Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, I've posted things saying that whether you like Donald Trump or not, whether you're going to vote for him or not, what you think of him, good or bad, he is going to be the presidential nomination for the Republicans. He's going to get it. There's no doubt about it. He is going to get Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Lord have mercy, Ben Carson, John Kasich. These guys, they're in single digits. The media is wondering why. And also, I'm wondering, why don't these guys drop out? They're not going to get anywhere. They're not going to drop out because the race is basically between Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump. Ben Carson, I don't know why I do know why he's in the race, but it's getting ridiculous. he's starting to look ridiculous. Kasich is starting to look ridiculous. They're just hanging on. Sooner or later, the RNC is going to say, hey, bye-bye, boys. I mean, they are in the tank when it comes to polling. That's why a lot of people are asking them, it's time to go, Ben Carson. It's time to go, John Kasich. You know, I mean, this is between, like I said, this race is between Donald Trump and basically Marco Rubio. I believe Ted Cruz is out of it, actually. But let me get back to what I was saying. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, whether you're going to vote for him or not, whatever you think of him, Donald Trump is a winner. The man is a winner. And we all like winners. Actually, I'd rather see Donald Trump, and I've heard this before on other talk shows, I'd rather see Donald Trump as the Republican nominee than Ted Cruz. Because Ted Cruz, there's no doubt about it, Ted Cruz is more dangerous than Donald Trump. Do not get me wrong. I would never vote for Donald Trump, but I would rather see him as the nominee to go up against Clinton or Bernie Sanders for the general election. Okay, Donald Trump, and I'm quoting, I love the poorly educated. This guy, we have to realize that Donald Trump talks at a fourth grade level. Sometimes I'm thinking he talks at a third grade level. And the reason I think a lot of people are going for Donald Trump is because he's an outsider. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. Some people say a poor businessman because he's filed 4 bankruptcies, from my understanding, allegedly. Okay? So He talks at a fourth grade level. He sounds like a bully at times. Everything he says is hogwash, but the people are out there voting for him because he's different. And he's also independent. He's spending his own money. So that's why Donald Trump is saying what he wants to say out there, because he's spending his own money. If he was spending PAC money, which is banks' money, Wall Street money, his donors, he would have to say what they want him to say. He'd be bought off just like Congress is. But Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's spending his own money. He doesn't have to bend over to nobody like most of the Republicans do in Congress and Democrats. This is what I like about it. He's not adhering. He's nobody's puppet. He's got a lot of people that are puppets for him, but he is nobody's puppet. And that's why I think I like Donald Trump. And another thing I'm going to say, a lot of people probably not going to like this. I don't think Donald Trump, if he should luck up and get it, which I hope he doesn't, if he should luck up and get this nomination and wind up being president of the United States in 2017, I don't think he's going to be that bad of a president. He's blowing off a lot of steam right now to fire up the stupid people to vote for him, to fire up the haters, to fire up the racists. But I don't think once he's in office that he's going to be that way. He knows what he needs to do to say stupid things to get the stupid people to vote. He is a winner, regardless whether there's stupid people voting for him, Heidi. He's even calling people stupid by this quote. He's saying, I love the poorly educated. I love the stupid people to vote for me. Basically, that's what he's saying. And they are putting him over the top. I'm hearing that the Hispanic, he's got some of the Hispanic vote. And he told them time and time again that he's going to build a wall to keep them out. And the ones who are here illegally, he's going to ship them out. And the Muslims, too. He didn't bite his word. And people love this kind of talk. I hate to say it, but Obama is not a great president. A lot of people trying to put that label on him. Do not do that. Obama is nowhere near a great president. Sometimes I wish Obama would talk the way, would do straight talk the way Trump is doing it, but Obama can't stoop that low. But the rest of the Republicans are stooping that way toward Obama because they're talking about not letting him at all, blocking his nomination to the Supreme Court, which is crazy. When you think about it, Obama should have probably, after 7 years of obstruction, he probably should have known that. And hopefully he will appoint someone during the recess. He can do it, but Obama doesn't want to do anything easy. This is his final year in office as president. If he wants to be a great president, he still has a few more months to do that. But as of now, with my opinion and what I'm thinking, he is nowhere near a great president. Ben Carson is blasting him, saying that Obama doesn't know anything about the African-American experience because Obama was raised by a white mother, which he was. Maybe that's the reason why we haven't seen Obama do much for the black community, do much or do anything for the black community. But Trump, I mean, he's talking down to his followers, supporters, and they're eating it up. He's talking down to them. He said he's going to replace healthcare, Obamacare, with something. He hasn't told us yet. All of these unqualified people on the Republican side of the aisle running for president, and they're getting big-time votes. What possessed people to vote against their interest? What possessed to go against their own values for idiots. You just, it just makes you wonder. All right, President Obama on key qualities of next. I think Obama should appoint somebody before he leaves office to the Supreme Court. Will that happen? I don't know. I'm hoping it does. I'm hoping Obama grow enough balls to get out there, tell the Republicans to kiss his ass and put somebody and nominate somebody, install somebody on the Supreme Court. All righty. I'm a Bernie Sanders fan. I mean, I love Bernie Sanders, but I believe Hillary Clinton has the momentum, and Hillary Clinton is being bought off by Wall Street. She's trying to deny it, but nobody gives you money to talk against them. Nobody gives you money for that. You have to be doing something to get millions and millions of dollars. And I'm like a lot of other people. I would like to hear her paid speeches to Wall Street. They are secret. And Bernie Sanders agrees. You've got to be telling these people something against the will of the American people in order for them to keep giving you millions and millions and millions of dollars to run for president of the United States. They want something. They want something. That's what I don't like about Hillary. She's taking money from unsavory places. She was taking money from Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia has demagogued women for a long time. Hillary's always talking about women's issues, women's values, but she takes money from a country that cuts the heads off of women or stoned them. Or disrespect them in some kind of way. They have no rights. I'm just leery of Hillary Clinton. However, if she should win the nomination over Bernie Sanders, I have no other choice. And I hope you say the same thing. Get out there and vote for Hillary Clinton. I mean, for Obama's second term, I held my nose, but I voted for him. Because I was very leery of him after his first term. Because majority of Obama's first term was chasing Republicans, literally chasing Republicans, and all they did was spit in his eye. He'd wipe the spit out of his eye and continue on chasing them. He was giving them all the social programs he was funding and all of this stuff. He was really a disappointment to me in the first term. I mean, he was just jacking up after Republicans, and a lot of us were saying, Obama is not a Democrat. He's a Republican. And the only reason why Obama turned back to being a Democrat is because he found out in his second term that the Republicans really, really do hate him. They really do hate him. I mean, when I first voted for Obama in his first term, I thought Obama was going to turn this damn country around. I thought he's going to turn this country on its side. I thought he's going to be something different. I thought he was a new day. I thought there was going to be something done in this country that was going to be unorthodox. Nothing has been done. Once Obama walks out that White House door, his last day in office as President of the United States, we're going to look back and say, has my life changed any since he was president for 8 years? Am I better off than I was when he first ran for president and he was elected to office? You ask yourself those questions, and it will be no. Totally no. You're not better off than you were when Obama took office. And that's what a lot of people are talking about. He knows nothing about the black experience. And I kind of believe that. Sometimes he doesn't even act black to me. Morgan Freeman said one time that Obama was not a black president. He was a mixed race president. And with Obama's actions, I agreed with that back then. I agreed with it. Don't call him African-American president. Call him a mixed race president. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We're still waiting for Sarah Samantha just to tell us why we should be listening to them. Why are they on my show? All righty. Okay, we're going to take a break right here. I'm going to be right back. Stay with me, people. Stay with me. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. I believe it's around 25 or 30 degrees. It's kind of chilly in Chicago. What else is new? It's winter. What can I say? You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Black Talk Radio. Follow me all over the place. I'm here. This is a great show. You miss this show, you will miss a hell of a lot. And if you listen to anybody, listen to me. I have so much fun on this show. You can't believe it. You cannot believe it. It is wonderful. Okay, we're waiting for Sarah, Samantha. I think there are two people, Sarah and Samantha. Okay, well, let's go to the phones. All righty. You're on the air, George.
Hi, George.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing fantastic. It's a little bit warmer over here than it is for you, it sounds like.
Yeah? I think we lost you.
Do you have us?
Yeah, I have you. I think you're breaking up a little bit, though.
Okay, should we call you with our Skype, or are you good on this one?
Oh, we're good on this one. If you're breaking up, I can try and make it out. All right, we are Sarah and Samantha, authors, speakers, life coaches, and co-founders of Never Be Average.
Yes, we are.
Wow. So what do you mean by, as if I didn't know, what do you mean by never be average?
Never Be Average is something that we founded about 2 years ago, and it really was, we don't mean it in a Kardashian way. We mean it in just becoming your best self.
Okay.
And living the life. Yeah, living the life that was designed specifically for you. And you know, a lot of times we go through life and we follow the crowd, and this is really stepping out and finding out what is your purpose, what was your design path that you were created for, and finding that and stepping outside of your comfort zone and truly living. And so in a world where we have society that tells us kind of how you've made it, it's kind of making your own way. And so that's what we do, is we inspire people to not live an average life, and that's really changing people's life through their soul.
Oh, wow. And basically, you're about unleashing the power of women within themselves, or am I close?
Yes, no, exactly. That's what we want to help women do. We believe that deep down in our souls, you know, if you have a heartbeat, then you have a purpose. And so we all have that power within ourselves to live our best life. And we let life get in the way of that. And we let things that happen in our lives hold us back from living the life that we were designed to live and hold us back from achieving true happiness within ourselves. And so our mission is just to help women, you know, who go through things that they're struggling with. Especially our specialty is helping women who struggle in relationships. So relationships with themselves, with their family, with their friends, or even with their significant other, and how to overcome the things that happen in their lives and really seek out the best relationships they can have and have happy, fulfilled relationships.
Wow, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. And you guys are bringing your own life experiences with this.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I guess we want to say God bless us with a lot of traumatic experiences early on, because that's what we look at it now as gifts, because we get to, you know, take it and relate to other women and help them move further, faster through the things that we went through. Yeah, we went through, you know, things that many people go through, divorce, infidelity, being held at gunpoint, getting kicked out of college, losing a career, unhealthy friendships. I mean, those things happened pretty quickly. And, you know, that's where we really found our purpose and our passion was, you know, how do we help others that are going through this move a little further, faster? Because, it, you know, it took us a little bit of time to work through it.
And that's the greatest thing about it. You take your experience of negativity and this kind of experience, and you've gone through it, and you know there's people out here as we speak going through some of the same things. You want to take your experience and try to help them out. That's great. That's wonderful.
Yes, you know, I heard on the radio one time this great quote that I've carried with me, and it's, "The test you face today will one day be your testimony."
Yeah.
And I think that that's so true. But it also becomes a choice. So for Sarah and I, the things that we've been through, we look, like she said, we look at as gifts from God, because we've overcome, we've gone from victim to victorious, and we just want to help other women do the same. We live in a society where there's a lot of pressure to be somebody you're not, and especially with women, there's a lot of, you know, cattiness and judgment and criticism, and it's hard to find real women that you can surround yourself with who motivate, inspire, and lift you up for who you are, and that's what we want to do for women.
And I applaud you. I really do applaud you. And because I think some women will applaud you also, because, you know, I mean, how do you get women motivated to want to never be average?
You know, it really comes down to the kind of the self-discovery piece of, you know, where are you at? Like what we're, you know, we like to do this activity a lot of the times is, you know, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And then what would hold you back from that? And then where did you see yourself 10 years ago? Where did you see yourself and what held you back from getting there? And so a lot of times, you know, we repeat a lot of the same cycle. And so helping women understand how to get out of their own way, eventually that's where the buy-in. They see a different path.
Okay.
And a lot of that is changing behaviors or circles of friends or patterns or routines of what they do. And a lot of times when women or individuals in themselves, it's just like when someone goes on and to lose weight, once they start seeing the weight loss, they can't get enough of it. And so it really is just putting it into perspective of how doable it is. But just like losing weight, it still takes a lot of action. But once you start feeling, basically we like to say getting high on self-love, your whole life starts to change.
Yes.
And you can't get enough of it. And once you start working on yourself, your relationship's changing. You become a better wife, a better partner, a better mother, a better coworker, just even a better individual. And so it's kind of a spiral effect. But that's how you get women's buy-in, is once they can kind of feel the change within themselves and see that their life can be different than what they've been doing, naturally the buy-in just comes.
Okay, how would you motivate a woman or young girl who decides that they want to live with domestic violence? How would you motivate them to get out of that cycle?
So with that, you know, what we've really learned in our own journeys is you have to actually have the will and the desire yourself. So that would be, you know, a very, very unfortunate situation. And I think that, you know, for Sarah and I, we both chose to, at the end of the day, we're going to live our lives as examples, you know, to walk the talk, to live and breathe what we say. And the most we can do for women until they want it is to continue to love and support them unconditionally. So when women come to us and they choose to continue to repeat an unhealthy cycle or stay in an unhealthy relationship, we're not going to cut them off. We're going to love on them. We're going to support them. We're going to be witnesses to them and give them the tools to help. We all know that change only comes when we've chosen ourselves, when we're ready for it, when we wake up in the morning and we say, I'm going to choose me today. And everybody comes to that place at a different point in their life. And so what we want to do is try to, or what we do is try to help speed up that process for women and show them their self-worth and their self-value and what loving themselves can do. Because at the end of the day, when we choose to continue to repeat unhealthy cycles or be in unhealthy relationships, all we're doing is setting ourselves up for disappointment. I like to say, if you live every day for tomorrow, all you're going to have is a bunch of empty yesterdays. So it's also at the end of the day, it's our own accountability. And if we choose not to move forward, then we're the ones who suffer the consequences.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
On the
I just wanted to touch on one other thing too, especially around like the domestic violence and stuff, because it is such a big topic. One of the things that Samantha and I do, especially in our life coaching, is in any kind of situation, toxic relationship, domestic violence, or even addictions or whatever it is we spend a lot of time on uncovering what individuals' weaknesses are. And so a lot of times it's been for like domestic violence or, you know, for me, I was in a very toxic relationship and it's maybe the need for validation, not wanting to be alone or the sense of comfort when someone comes back and apologizes. And so I think when, you know, you can really get down to understanding your weakness, that's the key, because once you can understand that, it can't be used against you. And people in abusive relationships are with manipulators. And so if you don't understand yourself and what you're weak to, then you're easily manipulated. So we work a lot on building that strength.
The reason why I asked about domestic violence, because I grew up with it. I've seen it, and sometimes I still see it. And then, like you say, I think it's up to the woman to want to get out of it. And I'm going to say something here that I probably going to regret. But there was a time I was walking down the street. I think I was going to the store, and I overheard this young lady. Okay, African American. She was young, but she was an adult. She was a young adult. I overheard her. I wasn't trying to, you know, eavesdrop or anything. And she said, and I quote, if a guy did not beat me, it meant that he did not love me. And I thought that was very, very strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a powerful statement, and it's very real.
Yeah.
And,
and it's real, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a form of abuse and manipulation and you know, the unhealthy state that, and that's why, you know, domestic violence, that's such a huge topic to tackle, because you're not dealing with just any woman that's just like ready to lose weight or ready to change or things like that. You're talking about somebody that has been brainwashed, somebody that first step is so unbelievably scary to them. And so again, it's showing that love and support and then getting down to the root cause within themselves of why they feel that way. But it takes a whole lot more than just a simple diagnosis, basically. But
yeah, the other day I was on the same subject as domestic violence. The other day I was out and I think I was going to the store or something, and this woman I saw her. She didn't say anything. She had a black eye. It's not funny, but she had a black eye, and I wanted to say so much. I wanted to walk up to her and say, why don't you get out of the relationship? Why do you keep going back? Because I feel like this, if a woman is getting beat and plummeting, and she keeps going back to the same guy, the guy is going to think that maybe she likes getting her butt whooped because she keeps going back and back and back.
Well, I think that it comes down to a lot of codependency. And you see this in a lot of toxic relationships. And it's that codependent of the high and the low. So, you know, as low is when it comes, you know, to the beating, but then the high is when it's the apologizing and I'm never going to do it again, vicious cycle. And when it comes down to women, a lot of it is that need for validation. And sometimes it's just that sense of they still want me and they still love me. And the risk is worth basically what they think is a reward. But the level of self-worth and self-value is so low that that's why women need other women, and that's why there's amazing support groups out there for that. And, you know, women are taking that first courageous step to utilize your resources. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes you can't go to your same circle because a lot of times they've been enabling the same behavior. And so it's really just looking for those outreach programs that can help you get out of the situation. And taking the first step is the absolute hardest, but utilizing your resources allow you to not go back.
But, you know, a lot of women out there, they don't even utilize their resources. Maybe they don't even know that they have them. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, and I think that's something, because I'm an advocate for domestic violence. That's why I'm talking a lot about it, because I try to tell people and talk to people, and especially women, because I've seen it so much. I have seen women being plummeted right out in the streets outside of one of my jobs years ago. And ever since then, I've been an advocate for it. I've grew up with it. I've seen my aunts and people being plummeted by guys that are way bigger than they are, you know. So I am a advocate for that, and I'm going to try to do my best to work on that, because I just don't, you know, it just makes me sad, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It is really sad, you know, and our specialty isn't women who, you know, are going through domestic violence, but we can definitely help them. And that's just, you know, like you're saying, to be an advocate for it. And that's what we are trying to do with our mission and our brand, Never Be Average, is to help women so that it continues to go down throughout their legacy. You know, you can make so much of an impact. If we change one woman's life and that's what we were meant to do, then that will be enough. But our goal and our dream is to continue to change women's lives at their core. And it would be the same for a woman who suffers from domestic violence, is to show them their self-worth and the value of their life, so that they go out and share that with the next generation or their friends. And it's, you know, it's a domino effect. It's a pyramid down. Yeah. And you can, if you can help one woman with it, you can help so many more.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So are you guys authors?
We have written one ebook. It is called So What Now? 8 Tools to Start Living Your Best Life Now. And that book, in it, we share 8 tools that are based off of our experience and what we've used. So in the book, we share a little bit of our personal experience. You can dig into a little bit about what Samantha and Sarah have been through. And then we share 8 tools that are tangible tools, things that you can implement in your life. You know, like Sarah said, know your weaknesses. That's one of the chapters. Mm-hmm. And our principle is, we call it the AAA effect. And it's awareness, accountability, and action. And so the first step is the awareness, and that's what we try to do with each of the chapters, which is the 8 tools, you know, create the awareness in your life around that. And then accountability is, you know, it's really easy for us to blame everybody else for the things that are going on in our lives, but at the end of the day, the only person we can control is ourselves. So it's important, once you become aware of the things that you're unhappy with or the reasons that you're in the place you're in now, that you then start becoming accountable for that. And then the third step is, okay, now you've been accountable to it, what do you do now? And so it's called So What Now, because we look at it kind of like, you know, if you go to a women's conference or a women's retreat, you know, something that's really inspiring and motivating, and you walk away and you're so ready for change. And then you get home and you're in your same routines, in your same environment, surrounded by all the same people, and suddenly you get this burden of, it's too much work, what do I do now? So we want to be that So What Now for women. That's our mission. Our goal is, what things can you do today to get where you want to be tomorrow? easy, actionable things.
Oh,
and then
that
we also,
great.
Yeah, we're,
that sounds
we
great.
Also are.
You know what?
We're
I,
also authors on our own websites.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're also, you know, we also have over 80 articles on our own website, and then we also write for advice columns for major publications like Mind Body Green and the Goodman Project.
You know, when I first saw Sarah Samantha, I thought it was just one individual until I went to your website.
Yeah, no, there's two of us. And that's what makes us unique, because we're really able to give a yin and yang effect for, especially with our clients, is we're able to diagnose the
yeah.
situation from multiple different angles and come up with a lasting result, basically.
Okay. All right. Okay. And tell people where they can go and find your book, pick up your book.
So you can find it on Amazon Kindle, and then we also have the link on our website, neverbeaverage.com, and we have a link on the top that's just titled The Book, and it goes straight to Amazon Kindle, and it goes for 99 cents, so it's a steal, and it's short
okay.
and sweet and to the point.
All right, is there anything that you want to say that you have not said for the people who will be listening, podcasting the show, and downloading it and archiving it? Do you have any last words for them?
Our last words would just be, you know, go out, do you, step outside your comfort zone, and start living the life that was designed specifically for you.
Sarah, Samantha?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Did I lose you?
Can you hear us?
You're breaking up.
George, are you there?
Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah and Samantha on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you so much. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, Sarah and Samantha, life coaches, and they were marvelous. They were great. All right, I will be right back. Stay with me, folks.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
For the tribute for Martin Luther King, this is this is February, Black History Month, if I can get it straight. I was just, my mind had gone off someplace. Yep. My mind had gone off someplace. This is
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Yeah, you're listening to me on Black Talk Radio. That was me. And like I said, I love the show, and I want to thank my guests. It was breaking up a little bit, but we've got everything we needed to get in on that segment of the show. And this is Black History Month. This is actually the last week, the full week of February. That means that there will be no more Black History Month. But for me, there's always Black History Month can be, you know, I mean, it can be all year for all I care. It's just great. And I want to share this bit, piece of Martin Luther King's last speech before he was actually assassinated. His last speech. And as I said yesterday on the show, when I had Jaya Camilleri on the show, I think Martin Luther King, when you listen to the speech, I think Martin Luther King actually knew that he was going to be assassinated. Listen, take a listen. He's a great speaker. Take a listen. We got it.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. What will happen now? We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
All right. That was Martin Luther King, his last speech before he was assassinated. And that's one of my that I have here in my studio that I'm going to play every now and then because he was such a great speaker. That's a great speech, okay? All right, moving right along. Former Massachusetts governor and 2012 GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney on Wednesday called a real called on real estate mogul Donald Trump, the GOP runner, in 2016 to release his tax returns. The Republicans are doing all they can to try to bring Donald Trump down. They don't want Donald Trump. And I've said this before in a lot of shows, previous shows, because he's independent. He's spending his own money. He doesn't need their money. And he talks crazy, but he's winning. What can I say? He's winning. And as I've stated before the guest came onto the show, I think he would make a better president than Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio. I think these two people are dangerous for America. I don't think Trump is that dangerous. He's a blowhard, but maybe that's all he is a blowhard. I think he actually cares for people, minus the people he wants to deport. Okay, this is a quote from Mitt Romney. I think in Donald Trump's case, it's likely to be a bombshell. You know what? The way Donald Trump is winning, I don't think his supporters do not give a damn. It doesn't matter what his tax returns are going to say. But the Republicans feel as though they have a what? A smoking bomb? Romney said in an interview with Fox News, speculating that the reason the businessman had not made his tax returns available in the public is because he may not have as much income as advertised, or even worse, he didn't pay any taxes. Okay, so where's the bombshell there? Where's the smoking gun? Donald Trump is going to be the nominee for the presidency of the United States on the Republican side of the aisle. That is no doubt about it. His supporters, they are just going to think that you're trying to demagogue him, that you're attacking him. The more you attack, the more voters are going to come and vote for him. Okay, in addition to Donald Trump's case, Romney also called the presidential hopeful Senator Marco Rubio and Senator Ted Cruz to release their tax returns, although his comments were most pointedly directed at the reality television star Donald Trump, appears to be guiding towards the GOP nomination later this summer. Oh, yeah, they're all after Donald Trump. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They want Donald Trump. They don't like Donald Trump. They actually think he's not conservative enough. Some Republicans are going even further and saying he's a Democrat in disguise, because he used to be a Democrat. He was at Hillary Clinton's, was it her wedding or her daughter's wedding or something to that effect? I got to check that out. But anyway, they are trying to smear this guy. I mean, he's the front runner. He's got the momentum. And they want to be president, so they're gonna come out of their bags with every kind of smear and lie they can on Donald Trump. And Donald Trump's quotes: "We're winning, we're winning, we're winning." Three winnings for three big wins in three previous states, and now they go on to Super Tuesday, from what I'm hearing. But Donald Trump, you got to give it to the guy. He's a winner. He is a winner. And that's something they're going to try to overturn. That's something they're going to try and overturn. Okay, we are still without a budget in the state of Illinois. I mean, it's like a broken record. I've been saying this. I think I've been talking about no budget, Bruce Rauner, and his no budget for Illinois. His no budget for Illinois. There's been no budget. And that, by my calculations, that's 8 months that we have not been, that Illinois has not, and these people don't give a damn. Destroying the state, throwing people out of work, seems the norm for these folks. Bruce Rauner is running around the state saying he wants to take over Chicago public schools. There is even some people now in the finances of the Chicago Public Schools on the behalf, I don't think on the behalf of Rauner, but just in general. And Ronald loves that. He loves it. But he will not be taking over Chicago public schools, folks. For something like that to happen, it would have to go through the Illinois legislature. And the Illinois legislature is Democratic packed. They are not going to let some rogue Republican, first-year Republican, who can't even get a state budget, take over Chicago schools and say he's going to fix them. How in the hell can you fix Chicago schools when you can't even fix the state with a budget, Mr. Bruce Rauner? Of course, Bruce Rauner, you did not start this problem that's in Chicago. I mean, the financial crisis in Illinois. You did not start it. It was here before you got here. Exactly. But, however, it has been made worse because of you. Regardless of Pat Quinn, if he would have gotten voted in office, we would not be 8 months behind without a budget. That would have not happened, Mr. Bruce Rauner. You and your supporters know this, but you're denying it. Bruce, you won with 25% of the vote. That means nobody voted for you, basically. It actually means nobody voted, period. Because if the folks would have voted in Illinois, we would have no Bruce Rauner. We would have Pat Quinn. And we would have a budget. Those are the facts, folks. Those are the unequivocal, undeniable facts. We are 8 months behind without a budget. And the only thing Bruce Rauner is talking about, how he can fix things, how he's going to make things better, how he's going to make Illinois, how he's going to get Illinois out of the financial ruin that he and his buddies have put it in. Actually, they didn't put it in, but they're making it worse, if I can say it. They're making it worse. All he needs to do is sign a budget into law, and we will be out of this mess. But you know what? I'm kind of thinking that maybe we will not, even if he did, because Illinois is too far behind in debt. Illinois owes everyone, and that's the job of a governor. That's the constitutional job of Illinois governor, is to sign a budget. It's in the Illinois Constitution. And as I've said before, the Republicans, they use the Constitution for toilet paper. They don't care anything about the Constitution. It's what they want. It's what their party wants. It's what they want. 8 months without a budget. This is crazy. We're going into the ninth month. The ninth month without an Illinois budget. That's unfathomable. That's unheard of. That's stupid. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place. They are colleges and universities, folks, in the state of Illinois are being upended. People will not be able to graduate. They will not get their diplomas or their certificates. Because of the budget crisis in Illinois. And our leaders in Illinois are just letting this happen. You know, I mean, Democrats are so steadfast in their values and beliefs. Rauner is also steadfast in his warped-ass values and beliefs. And everybody in between is getting screwed. This is a damn shame. We elect politicians to do the right things for us, the people. They get in office and they do the right thing only for themselves. And then lie through their teeth as if they care about what you think. They don't give a damn about what you think. They don't listen to you if you have concerns. The only time they listen to you when you have concerns, when they're is when they are out there trying to get your vote. Once they get your vote, all the listening is over. It's over. Your concerns, what you're concerned about, it means nothing to them. But let them get out there and try to get your vote. They're all ears. All ears. But once they get your vote, as I've said, once they're in that office, their ears are closed. We've got to stop electing people like that. Ken Duncan, this turncoat in the Illinois legislature, and most of the Democrats around him are trying to get his ass out of office, and I don't blame them. I'm right with them. He's a turncoat. He's been bought off by Bruce Rauner to vote the way Bruce Rauner wanted him to vote. He doesn't vote the way his constituency wants to vote. He doesn't vote the way the people who elected his ass to office and giving him his paycheck. He doesn't vote the way they wanted him to vote. He vote with Bruce Rauner. And that's why he has an opponent running against him. There's ads all running on television. Vote against Ken Duncan. He's a dumbass. I've heard him talk. I've heard him speech. I mean, I've heard him talk and I've heard him speak. He sounds like he needs a high school diploma. Taking big time money from Bruce Rauner. Bruce Rauner's bought off a lot of African Americans in the city of Chicago. He really has. Corey Brooks, James Meeks. And these people are supposed to be reverends and pastors, and you know, he bought them off. He bought them off. And they are one of the reasons why he is in elected office. Browner's picking off people with his cash. Money talks. But I'm going to tell you something. Money doesn't have anything over a voter surge. We get a million people out here to the polls, change things. We can change a lot. It doesn't matter how much money these guys pour into these elections or to these candidates. If progressives and liberals and Democrats come out in droves, 2016, November 2016, we can change things. The Republicans can pour all the money they want into these elections. It's not going to do a thing because Americans have spoken. All some of these people have is money. That's all they have is money. Money, 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 money. And like I've just said, money talks. But I think massive crowds at the voting lines, at the ballot box, speaks a hell of a lot louder. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm just ranting and raving, folks. Like I said, we've been without a budget for so damn long. It's just crazy. It seems like you're almost becoming numb and kneel to this because it's just happening and people are just letting it happen. It seems as though they're just letting this state fall off a cliff. Like I said before, as long as I've been on radio, at least the last 8 months, I've been talking about this budget standoff. They call it a budget impasse. I've been talking about it. I've been railing about it. I've been being passionate about it. And the politicians know, they know that we're pissed. They know. But hey, they're not doing a damn thing about it. You and I and the folks of Illinois, we did not put this state in the fix that it is in. It was politicians who have ruined this state. It's politicians who have ruined Chicago. And now they want to take over the public schools and ruin the public schools in this city. That is not going to happen, Bruce Rauner. But I know for a fact that Bruce Rauner loved the fact that the feds or someone is investigating Chicago Public Schools on their finances. I'm kind of for an investigation, but I am never, ever going to be for a takeover of the Chicago Public Schools from the state when the state can't even pay its bills. How in the hell are you going to straighten out Chicago Public Schools if you can't straighten out your own house? And a lot of us are saying that. A lot of us feel that way. But Bruce Rauner always coming up with some rhetoric, heated rhetoric, trying to make us think that it's not his fault. Oh, he's good at blaming other people. I mean, he just blame. I get tickled every time I hear this guy blaming someone. And the only person he can blame, if you want to blame somebody, go look in the mirror. That's where the blame lies, right there. You're throwing people out of college, out of universities, into the street because of the lack of funding, a funding bill you will not sign. The House of Representatives, they initiate that money, but they need the governor to sign off on it, which he will not sign off on it. You would think that money belongs to Bruce Rauner, his personal stash. Signing money over to these schools to keep them going and to keep these kids learning and getting their degrees will not hurt Rauner's pocket one bit. He acts like he's so passionate. He acts as if he cares about people. I mean, he really does. And we know he don't. Because if he cared, we would not have been 8 months without a budget in this state. Bruce Rauner is a Republican. What else do I need to say? He's a Republican. What else do I need to say? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
What do we want?
Let me just say this. While we become outraged with all the violence in Chicago, we've got to connect the dots. It is no coincidence that homicides are up and shootings are up. This weekend, 2 killed, 45 shot this weekend. And all this is going on while the governor has cut all summer employment jobs and while the governor has ended all anti-violence jobs in this state. It's no coincidence when you're on the street and you're abandoned by the government why violence is up in this city and why violence is up in this state. The governor is a co-conspirator of what's going on right now in the streets of Chicago. We got to make him understand that Illinois is not another business investment of his. Illinois is a state where there's people whose lives are at risk. Don't treat this like some business investment, Bruce. Treat this like there's people who elected you. This is our money. This is tax money. We have a say so in what happens with this.
How dare this man close the doors on our children? What's the difference in what he's doing now than Bull Connor did back in the day? We're not going to take it, ladies and gentlemen. The governor wants to balance the budget off of poor people, off of handicapped people, off of the mentally ill. Ladies and gentlemen, he wants to balance the budget off our baby. But guess what? Have you ever heard him talking about telling his corporate people to take a pay cut?
No.
Have you ever heard him talk about reducing some of those corporate loopholes?
No.
Have you ever heard him talking about, okay, we have been in the crisis here in Illinois. It's not the Republicans' fault. It's not the Democrats' fault. It's really the economy. and everybody has not been paying their fair share. There's some boys on the sales street that make billions of billions of dollars. And I'm like the governor, quite frankly. I don't want to raise taxes, but I want everybody to pay their fair share. And they are making some transactions that they're not paying taxes on. So the only thing I'm saying to the governor, make sure that everybody's in, including my baby, and nobody's left out, including your friends. So with that being said, Mr. Governor, let us go back to Springfield. You want a budget? Let's talk about a budget. Let us gather the money from the guys on LaSalle Street and let's have a financial transaction tax. And then when we get finished doing that, Mr. Governor, let's develop our own bank like North Dakota. And if that's not enough, Mr. Governor, let's get rid of the insurance industry and have a single payer of health care so everybody can truly be in and nobody be left out.
Don't mess with my children. You know something? We don't have to put up with a bully. A bully cannot win when people stand together. A bully cannot win when you're standing with your brothers and your sisters. A bully can't win when you build coalitions in the neighborhood. A bully only wins when you let them. Right now we have a coalition of individuals because we understand what Governor Rauner does not understand, and that is everything is connected. We are connected to one another. Child care is connected to a good education. Education is connected to health care, because you're not going to learn if you're sick. You're not going to learn if you're hungry. That's connected to a good job. That's connected to this state. This is not about one person who doesn't want to turn us around. He wants to turn us backwards. We are not going backwards. This is not we're going to be standing up here in the street, dancing, working for free. This is our state. This is not Ronnerville. This is not Brook City. No, this is the city and the state of the people of Illinois that deserve the best that it has to offer. We are not going to be held hostage. We're not going to be held against our will. Our children are not going to be the cannon fodder to fight your fight. This is something that needs to be addressed. We want the governor as your voice and as your ears down in Springfield. We want the governor to come to the table not talking about things that doesn't need. We don't need to be talking about remapping. A budget has nothing to do with remapping. It doesn't have to be a term limit. It's called come out and vote. Get the vote. That we need to be talking about. How do we fund those essential things that make us competitive, not only in the United States, but in the global economy? This is not about being a vulture capitalist. Who do you know, where do you know that a CEO tears down his own business just so he can make more money? Vulture capitalists. That's what they do. This is not a vulture capitalist situation. This is a budget about people, the budget about numbers, or that in his mind, a budget about numbers. There's a face on every dollar that's in the budget. And we want those dollars spent on the things that we need to be the citizens that we can be. And that is making sure that we have not only daycare, but many of you also know we need people working night care. Because this is a 24-hour city, it's a 24-hour fight, and we're going to stay in it for 24 hours as long as it takes. So let's stay together, let's stay connected, and we beat the bully.
All right, we're back. We are back. That was a rally against the budget. It was recorded some time ago, but it stands up today because we still do not have a budget in the state of Illinois, so it stands up. And I will keep playing that clip. Here's another clip on Rauner cutting senior meals. I mean, this guy is devastated.
Yeah, Kay, things
program.
Are really starting to hop here at the corner of 25th and State Street. There's a parade which is about to get started here, and it is protesting the cuts. The people here say that those cuts are dangerous and severe, and in this time of need, they're not only mobilizing, but the community is coming forward to help others. Last week, I told you about how the Clyde Jordan Senior Center joined others in our region by delivering its last meals on Friday. Because there is no state budget, federal money that is there for them cannot be accessed. Since our story aired, individuals, churches, and community groups have contacted the center to donate the food and the services. One man brought in about $1,000 worth of goods. Because of those donations, Tuesday, the center was able to resume its lunch at the facility as well as its delivered meals. It is a blessing for those like Ever Lois Cully who rely on them, but if the budget fight drags on between the governor and the legislature, Cully is aware the donations may not be able to keep up with the need.
It means that it probably wouldn't be as much food on the table as it would be if the meals was coming in. I'll put it that way.
Now, people gathering here include state workers, also people who are receiving the benefits who are directly impacted by this, as well as civic leaders. They're hoping that their show of protest here gets through to the governor and the legislature still battling over that state budget. Reporting live from East St. Louis, Mike Rush, 5 on your side.
Wow, this is just in. I'm having some volume problems here. Sometimes it goes up, it comes down, it goes up and it comes down. I hope you know. Hope you're adjusting your volume for these clips and sometimes my voice, because the volume goes up. It's hard to get it, you know, situated sometimes here on this Blog Talk Radio, WTTTY, broadcasting live out of Chicago. All right. White House vetting GOP governor for Supreme Court vacancy? That can't be right. Obama would pick a Republican, a conservative, for the court? He's got to be... This cannot be true. It's Obama. Obama is going to pick a Republican... And if Obama does this, he's turning the Supreme Court back over to the Republicans if he does this. Republican Governor of Nevada, Brian Sandoval, being considered for the Supreme Court. Man, what is Obama thinking? The White House is considering picking a Republican governor from Nevada to fill the current vacancy on the Supreme Court, scrambling political calculations in what is expected to be a contentious confirmation battle in which state Republicans have pledged to play the role of roadblock. So is he picking a Republican for the Supreme Court so the Republicans don't have to roadblock him because he will be choosing a Republican? Obama is weighing the selection of Brian Sandoval, a centrist former federal judge who has served as governor since 2011, according to two people. I just can't believe this, that Obama would pick a Republican over a Democrat or over a progressive. This is crazy. I got to look more into this, folks, and I'll be back on the air to let you know. Because we're just about off the air. I think we got about 5 or 6 minutes into the show. But this is crazy. If Obama's going to pick... Obama is a Democrat, okay? Supposedly. And he's going to pick a Republican for the Supreme Court over the suggestions of the American people by him being a Democrat and he choosing a Republican? Oh, man, this is just crazy. Obama's just... before I get into any more negativity on this, and it is a bombshell, because he's going against progressive. If this is true, he's going against progressive values. He's going against his democratic values by supporting a conservative to the Supreme Court instead of a Democrat. And it says that maybe he's doing it because he doesn't want a roadblock from the Republicans. The Republicans will probably vote for their own. But you know what I think? I think the Republicans wouldn't vote for a Democrat or a conservative, because I don't think they would vote for anybody Obama's pick. It doesn't matter who they are. But it's just shocking. All right, folks, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And this is shocking. I will be back tomorrow, and we're going to talk more and more about this because this is shocking, shocking to me. And I may be wrong about a lot of things, but I will get back. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because I will be talking about this, whether it's true or not true or whether I'm wrong. Call into the show. Give me your if you agree or do not agree, 347-857-1762. This is George Wilder Jr. signing off on the air. Please join me tomorrow, folks. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being there. Bye-bye.
Just can't.